Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My next guest is a psychology professor at Clark University in Massachusetts and the blogger behind Psychology's Today Beyond Blood blog. She is the author of several books on parenting and families in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community. Her newest book looks at gay men who became parents through adoption. Abby Goldberg is the author of Gay Dads, Transitions to Adoptive Fatherhood. Abby, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So you've done extensive research on LGBT parenting and families. Why was it important for you to focus specifically not only on gay men, but also gay men who choose to become parents through adoption?
It's a good question. So we know a little bit about lesbian mothers and their experiences transitioning to parenthood. But up until the last couple of years, we actually really didn't know very much at all about gay men's experiences of becoming parents. And partly that has to do with just the fact that there are fewer gay men who actually become parents. It also has to do with the fact that perhaps it's harder to get them to participate in studies, and also just the fact that gay men haven't become sort of intentional parents until the last sort of 10 years, at least in large numbers. So they're both sort of societal factors and sheer number factors that sort of have to do with why this was such an understudied group up until probably the past 5 or 10 years.
That's interesting. Listeners, are you a gay dad or do you know someone who is? We want to hear from you. Call 212-933-WNYC. That's 212-933-9692. Or comment on our website, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer. So, Abby, you actually went out and you found those gay dads who respond to surveys. You interviewed gay couples as they were deciding to become parents. Tell us about some of those couples. Where were they from? How old were they? How did you find them?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we primarily recruited gay men through adoption agencies, so men who are actively working with adoption agencies all over the country to adopt. And so actually about 30% of them were from the West Coast, about 30% were from the East Coast, 20% from the South, and 20% from the Midwest. And it was very important to me to have a geographically diverse sample because of sort of how different the experiences of, say, a gay man parenting in San Francisco might be from a gay man, you know, parenting in rural Delaware or the Amish country or somewhere like that. So, you know, we got them primarily through agencies and then some word of mouth and gay organizations.
Mm-hmm. And how did becoming a parent change the way gay dads saw themselves and their role in the community?
Well, I sort of have a whole chapter just sort of devoted to their perceptions of their family and work roles. Most of the men, which is really not surprising because this is totally consistent with research on straight couples, really felt like their careers took a backseat to parenthood. So their identities became much more about being a parent and less about making money or about being, you know, the best in one's job once they became a parent. And their own sexual orientation, also sort of the salience of being a gay man, really declined when they became parents. So, you know, they said, you know, it's not about us as gay men anymore. It's really about us as parents. We actually have more in common with other parents than necessarily somebody who's gay. So it sort of really reconfigured their lives and what was important to them. They also found that they were much more out in their communities. So, you know, two men walking down the street might not be seen as a gay couple, but two men with a baby in a stroller are more likely to be seen as a gay couple. So they were more visible in their communities. And in some communities, that was really fun and pleasant in really progressive areas. In some cases, they noticed that they were more frequently the recipients of negative looks, stares, and so on.
I just want to give out our number again to listeners. It's 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692 if you're a gay dad or know someone who is. So, Abby, picking up on what you just said, what about their families? Did becoming gay adoptive dads change the way their families viewed their sons' relationships?
Yes. So in about half of the couples, they described sort of pretty unsupportive families prior to becoming parents. So they describe some homophobia in their families of origin. Sometimes family members were described as very politically conservative, religious. Now, about half of the men who actually described their families as not very supportive described their families as becoming much more involved, much more supportive when they actually adopted a child. So their families really wanted to be involved in their lives, involved in their grandchild's lives. And often they were able to kind of put their own feelings about homosexuality aside, or in some ways really actually totally kind of come around in a very genuine way. So they were able to see, oh, okay, you know, my son is gay and his partner's not going anywhere and they have a kid together. So if I want to have a relationship with my son and with my grandchild, I better start to accept this. So in many cases, they experience a real kind of reversal of support from their families in the very best way.
I think our caller Paul from Brooklyn has seen that. Paul, what have you seen? Paul, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. My brother Sal and my brother-in-law Wayne have been together. As a matter of fact, they celebrated their 40th anniversary last Saturday. Adopted a newborn, Hope, my niece, 25 years ago. And in their circle, I see a lot of, I mean, in 40 years ago, of course, the initial shock and family issues that arose of their just being gay was, you know, dealt with long before they adopted Hope. And the support that they got, not only in the gay community, but throughout all our friends and relatives, has been outstanding. And their circle of friends is very common, both men, you know, and women who have adopted as couples or as singles. I see a lot of support, generally supportive. I have not encountered anything negative in any of the, and I'm a diehard conservative, has nothing to do with my social issues, my social values, but I see incredible family support and love amongst my brother and his friends who are gay and who have adopted in the past.
Abby,
I've never encountered anything negative.
Mm-hmm. Abby, have you seen that?
I don't live their lives, obviously. If they have, they really have not expressed it when it comes to their adoptive children.
Yeah, it's very consistent with the research. Again, I think some of that has to do with perhaps the geography, social climate. I don't know where your brother is living, but
a very conservative county, Staten Island.
Right, exactly. So I'm thinking, you know, for example, of some of the men who were maybe not so lucky to have their families become more supportive. Their families were living in most parts in very small, very religious communities, were very involved in their church communities, and were actually very afraid of rejection from their church communities and their political communities should they, you know, and that was really a sort of a motivator for them to kind of stay away once these men became parents. So
I think there's a big difference between the city and rural or suburban type settings in your findings?
For the most part, yes. I'm really referring to where these men's families lived, but yes, I mean, in people who live in, again, San Francisco, New York City, tend to report, you know, more positive experiences with respect to family and community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. There's another caller, Harold from Manhattan, and he knows a lot of gay dads. Harold, what can you contribute to the discussion?
You know, it's interesting. I have close friends who adopted a little boy with an open adoption 14 years ago. And at that point, everybody wanted to talk about it. How did you get the child? What are you thinking about it? Isn't this interesting? Because really, at one point, it was the end of the AIDS epidemic, and we had buried so many friends that to have a child was a remarkable accomplishment. It was the time that Dan Savage's book came out. I forget exactly the title. But everybody wanted to know the logistics. At this point, and it's only 14 years later, I have a lot of gay friends who are together and getting married, and the assumption seems to be that a gay male couple will have children if they're in sort of their 20s, 30s, or 40s. And the question isn't, are you thinking of children? It's, are you going to adopt or you're going to use surrogacy? The whole landscape has changed, particularly with legal gay marriage now in New York State.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And those early men, 15 years ago, even 20 years ago, those were certainly sort of the first pioneers of this movement. And now I think it's just that it's so much more of a possibility, a legal, practical, social possibility, that those men are not getting the same kinds of, you know, questions. They're not as rare. And there's much more of a social discourse, media discourse around gay men's experiences as parents. It's not seen as so foreign or unusual.
No, and actually I see gay couples who say, we've decided not to have children, and people look at them sort of strangely and say, really? You know, mm-hmm. It's just the whole norm has changed. And I think it's wonderful. I mean, my nephew, I call him my nephew. We're very close. He's 14 years old. He has grandparents and cousins, and he plays basketball, and he goes to a nice school. And he really, I think at this point, he gets more grief for being 6'2" and rather thin. Than he does for being an adoptive child of gay dads.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a new world.
It is. It is a completely new world, and I think it's wonderful. And actually, I think that there's a little bit of sadness among men who were like myself, who are the generation older, for whom it really was not a possibility, who, if we were in our 20s right now, would think of, you know, getting married to partners and having children. And in some way, the parade kind of passed us by. We try to be involved in the lives of these children, but, you know, we're sort of the last generation for whom this was not a possibility. You talk to gay men in their 20s and 30s, and it's just, there's no question that if we want to have children, we'll have children.
Well, Harold, you bring up a good point. And Abby, gay men have to overcome a lot of assumptions and perceptions in their quest to become parents. One of the interesting things has been how gay dads have been portrayed on television, like in Glee and on Modern Family. So we have a clip from the ABC show Modern Family, where a gay couple, Mitchell and Cameron, decide to adopt a Vietnamese baby. Let's listen.
Look at that baby with those cream puffs.
Okay. Excuse me, but this baby would have grown up in a crowded orphanage if it wasn't for us cream puffs. And you know what? No, to all of you who judge, hear this. Love knows no race, creed, or gender. And shame on you,
Mitchell.
You small-minded, ignorant few.
Mitchell.
What?
She's got the cream puffs.
Oh.
So first, Abby, what are some of their own sentiments that gay men have to overcome? We talked a little about some of their ambivalence.
Yeah, you know, there's both, right, the external and the internal barriers. So on the external, they have to obviously deal with, you know, potentially, you know, laws that don't allow two men to adopt, especially, you know, in the international case, like with, you know, Mitch and Cam. You know, gay men really can't adopt internationally anymore. They might have to deal with adoption agencies who are, you know, either implicitly or explicitly homophobic, communities that might not be supportive family members. But then internally, like you sort of mentioned, their own ambivalence. Can we do this? Is it fair for us to do this? Is it fair for two gay men to parent a child? Is it fair to raise a child without a mother, given sort of the emphasis in society, you know, on mothers and in child development? So there may be all of that. And then for some men, you know, they really grow up thinking, you know, because, you know, again, they were growing up maybe the 80s and the 90s, gay men can't be parents. Gay people, you know, it's not healthy, it's not right, it's not fair. So they really have to kind of do a lot of work to overcome the internalized homophobia that they've kind of, again, internalized from society.
And so let's go. There's a commenter named John on our website who says he supports gay adoption, but that the whole issue has a kind of elitist upper middle class ting to it, in his opinion. He says there are lots of options available if you have the money. What do you think?
Well, there are also options available to people if you don't have money. And one of the things I found is that class, of course, does play a role in what choice, you know, what route people actually choose to become parents, right? Most people can't afford surrogacy, which is $100,000 to $150,000, right? That's really only a sort of very small minority of gay men. Private adoption can range anywhere from $15,000 to $45,000, $50,000. But public adoption, adoption through the foster care system, the child welfare system, is essentially free. So, you know, many of the men who I interviewed, half of them, in fact, had adopted through the public, the child welfare system, and had adopted children ranging in age from 0 to, I think, 12. So while it may seem to be this kind of class, you know, upper middle class kind of thing. That's certainly not true. Many of the people who adopt through the foster care system are gay men.
Right. But then there are a lot of societal structures and assumptions in place, too, especially built into the adoption process. Can you talk about some of those? I mean, complaints about adoption services and social workers who may not be always cooperative.
Right. So, yeah, many of the men who I talked to really, especially, again, men who were living in more kind of geographically rural areas or conservative areas, encountered social workers who sort of either just said, you know, we're, for example, we're, you know, we can never place a girl with you because a girl needs a female role model, or we can't place infants with you because men don't really know how to take care of infants. I mean, from the very explicit, like, sort of, oh, wow, to really much more implicit forms of kind of stereotypes. So, you know, just the paperwork that they would get would say mother, father, man, woman, and they'd have to kind of cross it out and explain themselves, you know, in classes that they were in with other heterosexual couples. There was a lot of talk of infertility, no real acknowledgement of their own unique experiences. So they sort of, many of them had to continually kind of battle these assumptions and these stigmas. And in many cases, they were successful in talking to their agencies and saying, listen, you know, this paperwork really doesn't reflect our experience. Would you mind making some small changes?
Right. And then once they actually become parents, there are barriers there, too. You were really curious about how these men would define their parenting roles and divide tasks and breadwinning work, especially in the absence of traditional gender roles. What did you find there?
In the book and also in some other work that I've published, we found that same-sex couples, including gay men, you know, tend to divide paid work and unpaid work, housework, childcare, much more equally than heterosexual couples, which is perhaps not surprising. In the book, the men that I talk about, most of them, both men continued to work full-time outside the home. Those that sort of split things up according to more of kind of a, you know, one person work, one person stays home, talked about really being very conscious about not letting that kind of determine their parental role. So just because one man was staying home with the child, this doesn't mean that he's necessarily, you know, the housewife. He's not necessarily even doing more of the housework per se. He's
right.
Just doing more of the child care.
Right.
So they were very conscious of that, yeah.
Thank you, Abby. That was great. My guest is Abby Goldberg, psychology professor and author of the new book, Gay Dads, Transitions to Adoptive Fatherhood. Abby, thank you so much for joining us.
Very welcome. Thank you.